Straight A's. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Getting cheeky with it.
That bit went in, by the way.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was singing the.
That's what he does.
Republic of Loose.
Just wanted to let you know there. That's what happens in the background. If you ever wonder what happens, like, when they're not actually talking to us, that's what PJ's doing.
No, hold on now. What happened there was you recorded me completely out of context.
Were you not? It's literally there. It's in evidential Audrey? Audio evidentiary. It's there.
It isn't. It isn't there. Because what was happening was I was singing Republic of Loose to myself. You know, as at your mother.
Yeah.
I was singing that.
So how did Getting Jiggy With It
and
get then, in?
And that's the end of it. He goes, to your school, Getting Jiggy With It. And you just pushed up the thing on here. Got me going, Getting Jiggy With It. And then you went, see, dirty perverts. That's what you were doing.
That's...
You were trying to make me look.
I wasn't talking about dirty perverts. I was just talking about...
That's why you want your words.
I was talking about bad singers.
No. You're insinuating dirtiness. And I could see it in your face. Getting jiggy with it. And getting jiggy with it just means, you know, you're enjoying a dance.
Absolutely.
Or it used to mean that before you, pollution, mind pollution people came along. It's actually true, isn't it?
You can't. I mean, the strangest things now are, you know, you see trigger warnings on things. And,
for everything, yeah.
And everything is like, you have to be really careful with absolutely everything. The most innocuous, innocent kind of thing once upon a time, any phrase or anything.
Oh yeah,
you have to be so careful now that somebody doesn't decide that there's a suitable huff they can take and wander off in it.
Well, there is. I mean, everybody always took huffs. The thing was, you just didn't care. Now you have to like sort of go right now, like, right, okay, even though 90% of us are fine, we have to make sure we don't upset a handful of people who would get upset. And that's grand, I suppose, but maybe that's the right way of doing things. For old cattle like us, Jim, it's you know, we just walk around going, why can't they say that without upsetting people? I suppose we just didn't mind we upset people.
Yeah, but hang a second, but you're not, you know, the Ricky Gervais argument, like, you know, that you have to sort of take offence. Somebody
it
has to give an offence that you know, you have to sort of choose to take, to be offended almost.
It depends,
you know what I mean?
I guess, doesn't
I suppose
it? It depends.
Well, exactly. Like, exactly. What's
the intent? And that's it, isn't it? You know, like that. If, you know, if I say, I hate Van Morrison, his music annoys me, right?
Yeah.
And you're not Van Morrison. You're someone that likes Van Morrison.
Yeah.
And you go, how dare you say, Van Morrison got me through some of the hardest times of my life. My dog had a head lump and he died from it, you bastards! And I wasn't for Van Morrison's music. And, like, you know, at that point I should be able to turn around and say, I don't care.
Yeah.
I care about the dog, but you being upset over me not liking music you don't like.
Exactly.
I never even said it was shit. I said I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's no different than, you know, me turning around and saying, you know, that I like coleslaw, and then you decide to
take offence to that.
you decide to absolutely disown me.
Well, I was
and
going
call
to use
me
that
all sorts of horrible, horrible names.
I was going to use that as an argument of why someone should be allowed to be offended. But like, if somebody's like, it's like, if it's a homophobic or racist or something, that's different.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, but you know, people do get offended because you just don't like what they like. I remember
I
put up on Twitter, I hate sea swimming, and I remember getting a comment from someone. People, do you know how much joy that gives people? Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, canning and panning and pissing on something that gives so many people pleasure. I said I don't like it. I don't see it. I don't get it. That's all I said.
Yeah. Now, that's the stuff that stuff does wind you up.
I don't care about it.
Like, you're allowed to not like something.
You're not.
That's...
Yeah.
Oh, you mean in the modern world?
No, you're not. You're not really. But yeah, but you should be allowed. Yeah. Whereas, like, obviously,
you are allowed not like something.
But you can say, I don't like noun. Should be fine. I don't like people because I'm a bigot. Different.
Oh, yeah. Well, exactly.
You know, I don't like.
No, well, you're allowed. Surely, you're allowed. Sort of.
If
choose.
I say I don't like sea swimming, that should be all right. If I say I don't like Jim McCabe, because why would you not like Jim McCabe? Bad example.
There's
there.
Literally
Everybody
no
likes
reason
Jim
in the
McCabe.
World.
Everybody's
what about if I was a sea swimmer?
Yeah, if I didn't like you because you were a sea swimmer, that would be different, yeah.
That would make you
an idiot. I hate sea...
All sea swimmers
are morons. If you said that, that's fair enough to take offence.
Yeah.
All sea swimmers, the whole lot of them, they're up there and they're dipping their balls in the water. That's why they do it, because they're weirdos. If you say that, that's obviously not okay.
Absolutely.
It's not true. It's
no.
not fair. It's a generalisation.
Exactly.
But
it's not like you're talking about cyclists.
But I hope I never meet a sea swimmer. That should be all right.
Anyway, how did we get onto this? This is way too heavy for. I mean,
I'll tell you how we got into it. Like, getting jiggy with it.
Exactly.
That's how we got into it.
Now, you see what? See how easy it is to walk yourself into a difficult situation.
You have to be careful nowadays. One of Jim's biggest fears, right? And there's not why it's one of his biggest fears. It's because nobody would ever want to do it to him. But one of Jim's biggest fears is that someone's going to make a video of him. Not an actual video where he's not in the room, but an AI video. And they're going to make him do something that he would never do. He's always saying, oh, I'm terrified of this shit. Oh, I'm terrified. They made Donald Trump say all these things. He didn't even say it. Now, I don't like Trump. But like, maybe someone will make a video of me saying I do like Trump. You're afraid of it, aren't you?
Not so much me, because like I'm a nobody who'd give us, you know, flying fiddlers.
There's enough of us out there would get great crack out of you being misrepresented now.
I was going to say the likes of you, but even you with your huge level of celebrity and wealth are probably not high enough. But I'm just saying it must be a consideration.
Well, I wouldn't know how to do it.
No, I'm saying to be the victim of it.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. No.
Well, like, I mean, it's in the same way as, you know, let's just say I might be afraid of something fake that somebody puts about me, but PJ lives in fear of stuff he genuinely did in the past coming back.
In the past? Not even the past. What I'm going to do. Stuff that I'm going to do. I'm terrified of people finding out about.
Oh, man.
They'll be like, yeah.
It's crazy.
I've already told everybody everything I did in the past. It's out there. I wrote it down on the shoulder to everyone. And then worried about that. And now I'm like, the problem is, I've still loads left to do. What am I going to do from this point on that's going to get me in trouble?
Yeah.
Whereas you're worried about things you'll never do.
Fake things.
That'll get you into trouble.
That's part of probably my existential worry.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time worrying about things that may never happen.
Yeah. Only you, in fairness, it is a real Jim McKay thing to go, Jesus Christ, what if somebody finds out about the time I said that horrible thing about all English people? And your missus and I are going, you never did it. I know. But what if someone finds out about it?
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, but you never said that. I know, but what if somebody thinks it up in their head and makes me say it? What are you talking about?
What if someone says anything about the time I walked through Roundwood totally naked? But you never did that, Jim. I know I never did. But somebody might make a video of it that I'm not even in, but everyone will say it's me. They'll put my head on it, and then it'll be me. And what if someone does that? You know,
I tell you, it's a never-ending grind,
man.
It's a never-ending grind.
You really are just professionals. If worry, the Olympics are starting as we record this today, and if worrying, if there was a mental health Olympics instead of a physical health Olympics, you would win the anxiety gold. Like, the anxiety gold medal would be. It was like Jim McKay.
Why
like,
don't we have?
You'd
that
be
now?
The Michael Phelps of the mental health Olympics.
That's, I mean, why don't we have that now? Because you've often said
it'd
that
be
it
amazing.
Would be a great idea if we just embraced drugs, right, in sport, performance enhancing drugs. I don't mean to say that you're a drug advocate. I mean, you know,
narcotics, but definitely a steroid advocate. There's my cancel
those
now.
Those weekends that you spend at the you know, the corners of lanes.
I don't do any of that. I never have.
If anybody makes an AI video of that or anything. But you just say performance enhancing, athletic enhancing, you know, let them do it, and then you'll have lads jumping 18 foot tall buildings.
Imagine.
Yeah, whatever, right?
The 100 meter sprint, and it's over in 2 seconds.
Yeah. So why not have a mental health Olympics?
I think it'd be great.
Where we can all gather together.
Yeah.
We'd
be a great team, and me.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd be a great coach. I'd be there, listen, I've done this. I've been there, I've been inside and everything. I'd be there going, you know. And
we could be a relay team.
You'd be the best.
Two-man relay team.
Of the something. Anxiety relay.
So I'd be handing you the baton, and I'd be going, oh no, I'm probably handing that to you wrong, am I? It's my fault. I'm not making a mess of it. I'm not ruining that now. Hand over the baton.
Verbalise your anxiety as a lap of the track. So you'd be running around going, Jez, I'm never going to win this. How many legs are going? I think I'm probably going to have a heart attack. Mother of God, I'd say I'm letting everybody down. Nobody wants to see me here. I'm awful. Jez, why did you come here at all? Now I'm going to be starving, and I won't serve any food that I like. What am I going to do then? And you do the lap. And you hand it to me.
And then
I just
you
run
take
off.
Over.
I don't even say it. I just run around going, they give it back to you.
Looking for the darkest place in the arena to go and sit in for a while.
I'm running off down the tunnel and all. You're there. No, come back.
Is what they're saying something to him now? Is that
the... Who's after upsetting him?
They need to bring the mental health Olympics to the fore.
All the agoraphobics could play hide and seek. Oh. And the OCDers, they could be washing stuff.
OCDers would be lining people up on the line going, no, you're just, sorry, look, number seven, about a millimetre forward.
A millimetre forward,
if you're on, that's...
And then you go,
that's
what
a millimetre, that's a millimetre and a half. Back, just...
I mean, how many times you get the light switch on and off? In 10 seconds.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is definitely going against us, Rubble. This is
that'll get you cancelled. Long overdue, if I may say so.
For me, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's the thing. For stuff I haven't even done yet.
Yeah. That'd be the future.
But it is scary, isn't it? You know, in a world where everybody is desperately trying to misrepresent each other, and that's the problem. Everybody does deliberately try and misrepresent each other. You know, so like you could say, you know, I'm not I don't think I like holidays anymore. I'm not going to go on holidays anymore.
Right.
You know, you say, I'm just kind of done with it, you know.
Yeah.
I've done that. And then I go, I hear what you're saying. You hate foreigners. You hate them. And you're like, I don't. I really don't.
As much as said it, didn't you?
You're sick of them, you said.
Yeah.
Basically, I didn't. You did. You did say it. And then, you know, and then you'd say to me, well, you know, what are you going on about? Like, you hate Irish people, don't you? I mean, what? Yeah, all you ever want to do is go on holidays.
You're constantly looking to leave this country.
Yeah, look, you hate Ireland. You hate it. You hate your own. You're a traitor, you know.
Yeah.
People are so... They deliberately want to misrepresent each other all the time.
And it's... Mate, especially when it comes to... When the same thing can go, so you can go, you can do the kind of thing where, like, you could say, like, God, have you ever, no, what have you got against Spanish people? Have you ever been to Spain? No, you've never even been to Spain. So what have you got against Spanish? Well, I haven't had a chance to go.
Then you
go, right, and you go, do you know something? It's fantastic here. I could live here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You think you can just come to this country and just, you know what I mean?
Shite now for years you were that you didn't like Spain. I wasn't.
Well, what?
I said I didn't know anything about it. Ah, you didn't know, I couldn't care less is what you meant. You couldn't care less. That's what you meant, isn't it?
Literally.
You couldn't care less.
It does come down to
and
you
now
just
you're
can't win.
Bandwagon Spainer.
Yeah.
You're a bandwagon Spainer.
Yeah. And you know what I do? I should spend some more time here. I should learn the language. Cultural appropriation.
Yeah,
you think you can waltz in here.
You're like one of them lads that rides a horse once and next thing he's dressed as a jockey down the pub.
They exist, by the way.
Yeah, we've all met one of them.
Oh, yeah, they exist, by the way.
Yeah, they exist, by the way. But yeah, it's scary old world. Scary old world we're living in.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, it's a good job you're not funny anymore, and
you've gotten
out of the whole comedy thing because
thank God for that.
It must be tough. Like, how do you crack a gag? Because let's face it, the whole thing about a gag, generally speaking, it's at somebody's expense.
I meant to tell you this today. You're actually right. You love this now because this happens to me quite a lot lately. You know, I met a postman yesterday, right? And he goes, you don't think I need the funny stuff anymore now?
Brilliant.
Yeah, and I was like, I have to tell Jim. He's like, I can't believe I forgot it. You're not doing anything funny now anymore at all, no?
No.
I said, well, I'm on the radio anymore. And he goes, but you're not doing comedy though, he goes.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm on the radio. I think it's funny. And he's asking, no, that's not what I meant. But TV, you're not doing any telly or anything.
Yeah.
I said, well, I just had a documentary on like 2 weeks ago or a month ago and Young Offenders finished the same week that came out. And he said, yeah. But you're not doing any of the good stuff, though. He goes, yeah, I'm not even messing, right?
Brilliant.
Like, you know, the funny stuff.
This is my stuff, man. We need to get him on the show.
He's like, the funny stuff you used to do years ago, you know, the Dirty Elwood and all that. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I haven't done that for years. He goes, I know, yeah. So, well, what? And then, right? So, what do you do? I said, I told you, I'm on the radio every day. I'm after telling you.
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah. Just pretended, you know.
Pretended like he knew it.
You know, I just told you, yeah. He just pretended he knew it. And this happens loads to me nowadays. Like, I do get loads of that. Like, you know, a woman walking her dog says to me, I was sheltering from the rain, actually, under the bridge there at Fairview, Clontarf. And she was saying to me, are you the fella I have to tell you? I was, yeah, grand. And she goes, yeah. And do you make a decent living? Do you have a half decent paycheck? I was like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, yeah. Good for you. I have depression myself, she goes. You're all right. I'll be honest with you, I felt great until I met you. You know, yeah.
Wow. So the correlation she was drawing is that because you were once depressed, can't earn a few quid.
It's because I was out in the rain. She thought there was something very, very wrong. Just walking. to the creche. You know,
but we should leave on a positive note. We should say that's a good thing. You are right to stop being funny, because it would have been very difficult in the modern world.
Yeah.
Because as I say, you know, no matter what way you shake it down, normally a gag, the punchline has, somebody's a victim of it. Not a victim.
That's true.
Victim's a horrible word. I don't like using
it. It is victim,
but like,
yeah,
it's at, you know, it's at somebody's expense. Let's face it. That's what a classic joke is.
No one has ever laughed, not one time in this world, if it wasn't at someone else's expense.
Exactly.
In some way.
Exactly.
It has never happened.
And nowadays, trying to do that is so tough. So it's you know, I support your decision to stop being funny 100%.
Yeah. Thanks very much. I didn't mean to. Remember, I was in the petrol station on the Keys, and the woman was looking at me, and I was putting petrol in the bike, and she was looking at me, looking, and then she goes, "You're not very funny in real life." I said, "I'm buying fucking petrol." And in fairness, Danny is at my expense. Like,
You're not very funny in real life.
I'm buying petrol. What do you want me to do? Should I have a loaf of bread in my head? What happens, you know?
Brilliant.
So thankfully, I've been not funny in front of Jim, and he's been able to make that into a punchline for years.
It's
now.
Great. It's working so far, I have to say.
Oh,
listen, we're going to leave you with a few of PJ's attempts to be funny from the best bits during the week.
Oh, this is brace herself. This goes on for ages.
Some of the best bits from during the week on the show. Enjoy the rest of whatever it is you have left. Weekends, weeks. Depends on when you're listening to this.
Laughs.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? You might be on the way out for
not
all we
being,
know.
Yeah,
who knows?
Not being misrepresented, you know, being insulted by strangers.
Yeah,
it can all happen.
You mightn't have long.
Might haven't.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Let's face it. You know, charisma is a problem. You know, they do say it. You know, in the workplace especially. Everybody knows one person in the workplace and they're like, mother God, I can't believe they're coming here. They're always talking to me.
Right.
If you're Jim
McCabe,
because
this is the
terrible
thing that that the young people call Riz now.
Riz.
Riz is somebody, apparently Riz, people can give off Riz. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. You give off.
You're charismatic. You're,
yeah, yeah. You know the way young people talk. They'll be like, wow, I like that crazy cat. He got lots of Riz. You know, that's the way they talk, young ones and all. They go, here he is. Here's that jazzy dude. He's got so much riz, it shakes me to my timbers. They'd be all talking like that.
Yeah,
and,
wow.
And charisma, though. Is it something you're born with or is it something you can learn?
Well, you tell me.
Well, apparently a man called Charles Duhigg, who is a self-proclaimed charisma expert. Calling yourself an expert in a good personality is a bit of a weird one to do, I will say.
It's a bit, yeah.
He's a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter, and he says, you know, he's got people to tell him everything because he's got the riz over the years. And he's saying you can teach yourself charisma. You can give yourself a course, your own. You can set a course for yourself to make your personality better, to give yourself more charisma. He says you start by going into the workplace, and you know the way people that be telling you stories know, act interested. Just act it first, you know. No way.
Wait a second. I always act interested, and you give out to me for it. I always act interested, ask questions, and I ask all these things,
no
and you
says,
give out to me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but no one's giving out about your personality. I'm giving out because I don't want to see you being nice around people because it goes on forever. Yeah, you know, I mean, let's be honest here. No one's saying you're a bad person. It's quite the opposite. You're too bloody nice. You're making life difficult
and
on everybody.
That's causing you problems.
It's causing me a problem.
All right,
I do apologise. It's an issue.
Apologize.
You can't meet anyone. You can't. Oh, hey, how's it going? No, Jim. Oh, how's it going? And how's the children and everything? And I presume life as well. And the health, how's the health? I'm like, mother God, Jim, please.
Yeah.
Jim, please.
They're just a shop assistant, Jim. Let it go.
Let them go. No, please, Jim. And they're like, well, thank you for asking. No one's asked me that for ages. Only here we are now. It's going to go on forever.
Okay, right, let's move on then. What else do you need to do? Ask questions.
This is it. This is number one. You ask the questions, right? And it might feel a bit unusual at first, but eventually you will, they say, become genuinely interested, and you'll ask more natural questions over time. So you have to sort of be aware of, you know, what tickles your fancy, and
really?
Then ask that of other people. So if someone, you know, you're asking about their kids, right? Say, you go, how's your kids? And you don't really care. And they're going like, oh, they're grand. And Jeremy now, you want to see him. He's able to hold a pen and everything. And you're like, no way. You can hold a pen. You don't care.
Yeah.
But you say, listen, what? I saw that new car outside. It's yours. And they go, yeah, it's mine. You are interested in that. Then you go, right, well, that's what I'll ask the next person.
Ah, okay.
You know, that's what I'll focus on the next time.
So right.
Go, yeah, so how do you get in and out to work? No way. You know, you get that. And then you carry that through. And they'll say, Jim's very interested. Jim's great bloke. Not only is he interested in transport, generally speaking, he's interested in my transport. He's a lovely fella.
Wow. Who would have thought it was that straightforward?
Yeah, yeah. That's but again, I'm preaching to the converted. Jim has that riz, man. He he's the jazziest dude I ever grifted with. He's got it. It's, but other people don't, you know? They don't have it.
Oh.
And we all know someone.
Being described as the jazziest dude you ever grifted with is, wow.
Well, there literally is no other way to put it. Yeah.
I'm grateful.
You got it. You know, you could teach this stuff. You know, you really could. Whereas we all know someone in the workplace who... They just want to
what's
tell you about them and nothing
the
else.
Thing?
It's,
they say
it's
there's,
infuriating.
There's charisma. What's the other thing that's often kind of wrapped up in that as well? God, it won't come to me now. You know, people have that sort of about them. There's, you know...
Cop on. Is that it? Because a lot of people... Like, for instance, there you go. Jim has loads of charisma. Very little cop on. Never knows when to stop asking questions.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Many times on this show, we've said that when it comes to food, we do tend to be kind of creatures of habit. You know, you kind of when there's foods you associate with certain days. I mean, the obvious one would have been people have, say, fish on a Friday. Right.
Oh, that's back.
Or there's the kind of like, you know, Monday is always Sunday's leftovers.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or maybe it's your favourite takeaway
on a Saturday. Whatever it is.
Whatever. But we do tend to fall into eating
routine.
The same foods and the routines and all that sort of stuff. And it turns out that...
Not a coincidence.
Yeah. It's not a modern phenomenon.
No, it goes back tens of thousands of years. Even not just Homo sapiens that have been doing it, but they reckon Neanderthals.
Right.
Way back tens of thousands of years. Where, like, the new evidence, they say, shows they were preparing meals much like ourselves and that they would get into a sort of a routine. They would routinely...
Of when they ate. I mean, surely to God it was like you ate what you could get back in the day.
I would have definitely thought so. Yeah, definitely. Like, back in the day, I don't know, 20, whatever, thousands of years ago, you would imagine a Neanderthal woolly-backed man coming out of Roundwood and hunting a hairy mammoth or a rhino. And
I knew we were going to end up doing this.
What are you talking about? I'm just saying. And killing the first thing you can see and just bringing it home for dinner to his little family and all. And that the last thing they'd be thinking is, you didn't get any chips or not? No. It's the same again, is it? You definitely wouldn't have thought that.
I wouldn't have thought the variety of options in Neanderthal era would have been that, you know, that you could pick and choose what you'd have on a Monday or a Tuesday.
They had more.
In fact, was there even Mondays or Tuesdays?
Well, this is it. The working week.
Right.
It does cast a shadow on this. I definitely know that. I mean, Jim will remember when they brought in the working week. But for most people, there'd be no idea of when these happened. And definitely, it wasn't like Neanderthal man was waking up going, Monday, have to get pigeon or whatever, you know. And then you go and you pluck a pigeon or whatever you do to a pigeon to prepare it for food.
Right.
Pluck a pigeon and skin a potato and eat it with whatever. Because they were savages,
so
they probably had potatoes and biscuits or whatever.
What were they saying they did eat then? Or how was it supposed to break down?
Believe it or not, right, in the paper today, they've done as if it was a menu, an a la carte style Neanderthal menu, right?
Right.
So Monday, right, we'll go through it. Monday.
So they've actually said that they'd have whatever on a Monday.
They genuinely, I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So Monday, right? Flatbreads with berries and dates. Not the best now.
Right.
Monday.
But it is Monday.
Like Jim says, it's the leftovers. They've eaten all the woolly apes and mammoths and all of that. For the night.
So not a great choice on a Monday.
Yeah. So Tuesday then is mammoth with mushrooms. That sounds nice.
Mammoth with mushrooms.
Yeah. Think,
so it was a recipe. It wasn't just kind of like, oh, right.
Oh, yeah, no. Now, right. You think if you killed a mammoth, you'd get about 6 months out of it. It's quite big. It's not like it's not like a bat.
Especially when you wouldn't, you know, you couldn't rely on your old Electrolux freezer or whatever it would be
definitely
to keep
not.
It. Do you know what I mean? For a while.
Imagine that, someone giving you a Jim, I'll have a bit of mammoth there for you. Bomber, I'll have a bit of mammoth there for you. Do you want it? Well, okay, I'll take it. I've never tried mammoth. No, but you don't have a full size transit high bodied van by any chance to take it home. And then Wednesdays is sheep with tree bark.
Less appealing. Sheep with tree bark.
Tree bark. Do you have any brown sauce or anything?
That's
tree bark. Yeah, and
why not just have the mushrooms again if they were.
Honestly,
you probably got rid of all of those on the Tuesday.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Well,
it's a bit of a letdown, I'm going
to
say.
I think if you have to get through a full mammoth steak, you might have a few mushrooms left over. But yeah, Thursday is fish with pine nuts. Now we're getting
right
more
fish on a Thursday. Ooh, controversial.
Controversial. I'll tell you something. You'd know this was pre-Jesus. I'll tell you that much. You'd know that. Right. And then Friday was woolly rhino on a side of moss.
Side of moss.
A side of moss. Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't even optional. It was just, it was stuck on the woolly rhino.
It was stuck on the woolly rhino.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want any moss on mine. I can't help it, right? It's on the rhino. Yeah. It's just the way it goes.
I can't do it, Jim. Seriously.
I mean, like, God, I've literally a stone, right? And a bowl that I made out of a tree.
Yeah. I don't have a knife.
How am I supposed to? I can't do that.
I've literally got a wooden spoon that's a stick, right? I can't take the moss off the rhino.
Right, so what about your weekend feast then? What was? Oh, did they live it up at weekends?
They kind of did. They went very human being. Homo sapien on the weekends.
Takeaway, was it?
Yeah, well, bitch, yeah, they had rabbit on a bed of water lilies on a Saturday.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're, that's the fancy families.
Rabbits.
That'll be the more middle class Neanderthal, I'd say. Whereas the roast, the sort of Sunday is the very working class Neanderthal who would have roast pigeon with peas.
Roast pigeon with peas.
Wow. Roast pigeon with peas.
Tell you something, I have a new respect for the old Neanderthal.
I know
lads.
You do. Because
I can't
honestly,
believe that. I mean, the variety. Half of those foods I didn't even think were around in Neanderthal times.
Honestly, and I'll be honest with you. Some of this, like, okay, grand. Some of it.
Pigeon and rabbit and everything they were all on.
You could hold, if you took mammoth and mushroom off this menu, it's literally identical to the menu in the Roundwood Inn. You can get.
How dare you? The Roundwood Inn is an award-winning environment.
It is. They do the best hairy rhino and roast pigeon with peas this side of the equator. That's for sure.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
If you do have an ailment, okay, here's a question for you. You know, what's your first port of call? You have a little ailment, you have a twinge or a run or a something, I don't know, whatever things happen, you know, a tweak, a pain.
A pain or whatever, yeah, yeah. Maybe you're like, you know, maybe you're like Jimmy, just pull it down to old age after a while, you know, you just think.
Maybe you're a bit like Jimmy, you just think, nobody's going to care, so keep it to yourself, Jim. Nobody's going to care.
Well, does that as well. I don't think that's the case with Jim. Most of us do get a great bit of crack out of it when he's in.
That's true. You know, yeah. But are you somebody who goes to Google. The Google Doc?
Do you Google your symptoms? This is it, right? We're warned over and over and over again, all the time by our doctors, by anyone who's a professional, do not Google your symptoms. Do not go to Google. All you're going to get from Google is a range of what it could be, and it's going to go from could be nothing at all, might be death. The likelihood of it being somewhere in between is where you'll find a professional. You're not going to get a good answer in Google. Do you Google your symptoms? Turns out, almost everybody does.
Yeah.
Almost
I was really surprised
degree.
When I saw the statistics on this, okay? Because I would have thought, when it comes to the people who claim, as may I point out my learned friend and colleague PJ Gallagher does, that they never... Ever do it.
I have never in my life Googled symptoms on the internet. Not once.
8%. Now, I know that's not a big number, but I'm still surprised. I would have thought everybody at some point would have done, God, I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
And done a little searchy.
No, I have literally never done it. What? Why? Death. It always is death. No matter what, it's always death.
Right.
Runny nose. Could be just a runny nose called by colds and flu. Yeah. It's the time of year for that. Could also be attached to leprosy or, you know, or brain explosions. Which do result in immediate death. Go and see a doctor. That's always what it says. Yeah.
Because we do end up kind of, you know, we've always said loads of times, Google or the internet or anything always gives you kind of what you look for. We never seem
exactly.
to. The way you phrase... You know, because people will invariably put in is, whatever their ailment is, serious or, you know, dangerous or whatever in the question.
But that's it, yeah. Yeah, is a sore elbow really dangerous? And it goes, really dangerous sore elbows. That's what Google's looking for.
Yeah.
Really dangerous, yeah. And then you get the stuff that just annoys you. Yes, an elbow to the face is really dangerous. That's not what I'm asking. That's not what I'm asking. And the next thing is, you know, a sore elbow. Could it be? Yes, it could be rheumatoid arthritis. Could be a bruise. Could be the start of joint spasms that will stop your heart. Could be the start of, you know, maybe it's heart trouble. Maybe it's emotional outrage coming through the elbow, as it sometimes can. And because there was one case in ancient Greece, or all this sort of stuff.
It sounds a bit like you've been scarred by Google Doc. Did Google Doc tell you once? Oh, no, you've never done it.
I've never done it.
Because you sound like somebody who's had a bad experience with it.
I'll tell you, I have loads of times. Because everyone I've ever known has farted on about this. And my partner Kelly, she's unbelievable. She Googles everything.
She is
that
a doctor.
To the kids. Yeah, she's not a real doctor, you know. Everything that happens to the kids, she Googles. Everything that happens to her, she Googles. Everything.
Right.
And it's always the same result. It drives me mad. And like you said, it's phrasing the question. It's like, is palpitations of the chest really serious? Well, yes, it is in certain. Whereas I go, me chest is a bit funny. I'm grand, aren't I? Question mark. That's how I would put it.
Is
in.
A bit funny.
Yeah, I'm grand, aren't I? Yeah. Aren't I grand? Question mark. And I haven't done it. I've never done it. But I imagine Google would go, yeah, you're grand. Like, well,
I'd love to hear you doing it.
I'd say so. Yeah,
via Siri. That would be good. If you were to do it by, and Siri going, what do you mean by funny?
I mean, like, it's funny, like it's going.
Do you mean funny, ha ha?
No, I mean funny, like, you know, that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be doing.
So the statistic is 40 odd percent sometimes do it.
So 11% do it all the time, no matter what.
Oh.
All the time, like, no matter what they do it. As in, you know, like, I'm walking in the road. Jeez, middle of summer. It's a hay fever. Better Google it. 19% mostly do it.
Right.
When there's something that actually, you know, they think is more than a sneeze, a cough, or a wiggle, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And 41% say they sometimes do. I'd say they sometimes lie about the frequency of things as well.
That's true.
And then 20% says they rarely do, but yeah. You know, if there's a worry, if there's a significant, or they're worrying, waiting to go to a doctor or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Then they do, yeah. And then you're into the people that never, ever do, and the 8%, the 1% that say they don't know. How do you not know? Now, there's the percent of people that need to see a doctor.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
So hoping, obviously, that it's going to be a fantastic Olympics, an Olympics that doesn't get, you know, where the sport does all the achievement and, you know, it's not bogged down in any sort of, like, controversies or issues or things like that.
I do like a bit of controversy, though. Now, I'll be honest.
And it's just, it's not only the big, you know, even on a smaller level, controversies can... Oh, they can just blow up out of nowhere. Something you wouldn't even imagine could possibly generate a controversy. And all of a sudden, people are up in arms.
People who get mad into rules, right?
Oh.
The scandal in the League of Ireland is a good example of that at the moment, right? Mm. So Dawson Devoy, and not that I'm biased or anything, but we've got Devoy. Yeah, so Dawson Devoy, who's just come back to Bohemians. Right?
Yeah, back at Bowes.
So he's back at Bowes. He's been away. He's been playing for MK Dons over in the, over yonder. In England and that.
Yeah.
And, he left MK Dons back to Bowes with great fanfare and aplomb. We were all delighted to see him come back. Everybody in the league and the country was delighted to see Dawson Devoy come back to Bohemians. And anyway, he played the first game against Rovers, knocked Rovers out of the cup. And then tonight is the second.
He personally knocked them out, did he?
He personally did it. Yeah. Right. Him and Ross Tierney, actually, I would say the two of them did it together. And then tonight... Right?
Yeah.
The game against Dundalk is on, but Dawson Devoy can't play. Why can't Dawson Devoy play? Well, because he was given a red card in the Papa John's EFL trophy over in England. And apparently the red card now travels with him. From not only one country to another, but from one competition to another.
Extraordinary.
And it's kind of ludicrous. And
it
now
is.
Rovers are protesting, saying they shouldn't have got kicked out of the cup because why does he now play against us? They were saying. And not that I'm biased, because I am hugely biased. But get over yourselves, will you?
It is an unusual one. So, and the controversy is, of course, first of all, it was a different country.
For a different country.
Also, even in that country, even if you were in Ingerland, you know, normally league and cup things are treated differently. You know, if you get a red card in the league, you can still play in the cup.
Yeah, it only matters in the competition you were in that you get
exactly
the red card in.
But now, so obviously there's something very significant about the Papa John's Pizza
Papa John's EFL
Roundy Trophy, four different flavours. Cup, right?
Who made a complaint?
You know what I mean? That must be so high profile that somebody picked up on the fact, aha.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Maybe, I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe it was Papa John himself.
Sounds like it to me. Papa John, you can imagine.
You got the red card.
What is happening? I gave him the red card myself. No.
It's very unusual. And as you say, now everybody's getting involved. Shamrock Rovers fans are getting involved.
Oh, they're all in the huff.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. As if Shamrock Rovers are on the huff now. They're all sensitive. Well, he was allowed to play against us and we got kicked out of the cup. Yeah. And
so, is it going to be resolved? Is there an inquiry? Has anybody rang Papa John's and said, listen, what's the story with this? And while I'm on, give us 2 12-inch pepperonis or anything like that. Has anybody gone to the source?
Yeah. They've been ringing off. They'd be like in the FAI. The phone's ringing off the hook today.
Yeah.
Had Shamrock Rovers on. They're moaning. With Papa John on. They're moaning. And I don't know who the other fella is, but he needs 2 garlic bread and a side of chicken nuggets with his pizza.
Exactly.
And it's absolutely worth stressed out there. We can't
absolutely
handle it.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, why do you always end up sporting teams that, you know, take part in... I mean, it's great.
Well, it wasn't,
you know,
the team, though, but the
I'm just
player,
saying, yeah. There's lots of great sporting brands.
There is,
but
yeah.
You seem to end up with teams who are involved in the, you know, the orange flavoured tea cake cup and the, you know what
that.
I mean?
It was the Tunnocks caramel wafer,
the 9-inch pepperoni
cup.
Shield and all.
It was the Iron Brew Cup and the Tunnocks caramel Scottish wafer challenge or something like that.
There you go, yeah. Which, and now, right, now yeah. Papa John's are
And
on.
Now Papa John's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I love these competitions. These are the competitions you live for.
Yeah. Who doesn't want
to? Who hasn't
been a
young boy?
What do you win, actually, if you win the Papa John's EFL trophy?
Yeah,
apart from the trophy.
€300 worth of vouchers and a children's birthday party for free.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.